But in terms of mental maturity, I would say that Topaz would definitely age, just because, like, as long as you're exposed to something new, as long as you're exposed to new feelings, new emotions, you would grow.
Four kids just showed up. They're all under 2 years old, and they are having a ripper in my backyard.
Oh, sick. They're ripping bongs in your backyard?
They're ripping bongs in the backyard. Tight. I filled up the kiddie pool with... I got an air compressor, which is fucking tight.
Air compressors are dope.
The only reason to use it, I've used it only to fill up an inflatable pool for my two-year-old kids.
Cool. But aren't you supposed to use it for like getting raccoons out of the tree and stuff like that? Is that what they're usually used for?
There's all kinds of attachments you can put on this thing. You can shoot paint. You can shoot sandpaper. You can shoot it all.
That sounds incredible.
Pretty sweet. Nails, staples, whatever you want, man. So those kids are all in my backyard. They're like just going hardcore in the paint right now. It's pretty funny. Like
amazing.
People just show up. It's cool.
Here's the big question that I think I personally and all of our listeners are certainly asking right now. What is Charlie going to be for Halloween? I feel like this is a really interesting time for an adult.
It's a big debate going around the house right now. His friend Neil down the street is going to be a piece of broccoli. He's like 16 months old.
Oh, cool.
Which is pretty tight. I think broccoli is like a strong choice.
I think it's cool. People sends a good message.
Like broccoli, but it's a healthy food, and I think it's good for your system.
At one point in that, I thought you were going to say a piece of trash. Like his friend Neil down the street is going to be a piece of broccoli. I was waiting on that one.
I think we're leaning towards a dinosaur because he's pretty obsessed with dinosaurs.
He would be happy about that.
That'd be pretty sweet. And then if you have any suggestions, we're open. We're all open to yours.
I mean, how do you feel about dressing him up as the youngest Trump guy, like the little guy?
Oh, a little Baron?
Baron.
With like his knee slacks and
dress him up as Baron Trump, or maybe you can dress him up as a I like this age with Halloween costumes, I assume, for kids, because I don't you can put them in whatever without them really making any argument, you know?
It's a good point. I think the goal for this age is to get them in an embarrassing costume that you can show them down the road and be like, yeah,
exactly.
I dressed you up like a pack of cigarettes and it was hilarious.
Exactly. Pack of cigarettes. You could dress them up as like
weed leaf.
Yeah. You should dress them up as Kim Jong-un.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Kim Jong. He's popular. Yeah. My buddy last year, he's from San Francisco, dressed his daughter up like Donald Trump. She was three.
That's good.
And she had the MAGA hat and the whole suit walking around San Francisco, you know, super liberal San Francisco.
Right.
And I was like, man, that was so great. Like,
Nice troll.
What a great troll. Exactly.
And I'm sure what's happened where like the parents were like kind of looking like they probably had some complex emotional reactions to that, I would assume.
Yeah. Oh, they probably think he's a terrible dad. And how could you do that to your daughter? And like, he just thinks it's the funniest thing.
Why don't you do that, but dress him up as like Grover Cleveland or somebody like that? That you don't really.
The guy from Sesame Street?
No, the president.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but dress him up as like James Polk, and then when people react, you can make judgments about their political stance and their character on like if you're like, oh, it's so cute, a little James Polk would be like, oh, you don't believe in sharecrops for the corn industry of the 1840s.
Yeah, and just like destroy somebody with 100-year-old slave history.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. I think that's the move. Anyway, all right. So this is Did You Read It? We haven't been around for the last week or so. Which, if you haven't read in the title of this episode, it's because we had an interview with somebody from the Talpa community. We interviewed somebody's Talpa, then we interviewed their host, which you'll hear in a couple minutes. But we've been getting that prepped. We're trying to do a little bit more interviews. I think it's fun for us to get to know some of the people behind these things.
Yeah, we love finding people from the internet and then hanging out with them. Like it's the best. I think we've discovered it's the coolest part about the show is that we just find these people that everyone else would consider a weirdo.
Right.
And then they become our best friends and they're all awesome and interesting.
I actually got a note from Roy this morning, speaking of.
Tight. What do you
say? Roy's keeping me like, I basically get like the QAnon Reddit newsletter now.
Basically. Oh, cool. I got that.
I'm on, by way of Roy.
I'm on their Facebook fan page, so I get a lot of that.
Oh, nice. It's funny because I read it. I think about it for a moment. And then I just, anytime I go, so I think about Roy and I'm immediately like, hey, man, Roy's cool. I don't got a problem with Roy. So I don't got a problem with you guys either.
It's good. Know? He puts a face and an emotion to the argument and the craziness.
Yeah. I mean, I hope Roy doesn't kill anybody because that would really be a shame. But if I'm, you know, until then, Roy is part of our crew, you know?
Yeah. That'd be a big, big problem for this pod.
Yeah. would be a big, it's him and Casey Knight. If Casey Knight kills his ex-wife with one of our knives that we've sent him, or if Roy kills somebody, then we should expect a knock on the door from the FBI.
The FBI is like, who is this did you read it person that's on the blade of the knife? And then they track us down.
They track us down. And I don't know how I would handle that. I might have like a Brendan Dassey situation and just be like, no, yes.
You kind of have a Brendan Dassey thing, like in the most opposite way possible. Like you talk on, like, you're the antithesis of how much he talks.
Yeah, I talk a lot.
I feel like as a acting tool or like a Halloween costume, you could kind of crush that one.
Oh, Brendan Dassey would be a good Halloween costume. I don't know what mine's going to be yet. I really have to figure that out. I got long hair right now, beard, of course. I always feel like because of the way I look in normal life, I really need to like lean into the assets that I have because other people are wearing wigs and putting on fake beards. So I could just like be Jesus or be Fidel Castro in the fucking 80s or be like, you know, pick somebody who had a beard and long hair. So
You should. You have a skill set.
Yeah. Maybe I should be Rasputin. I think Rasputin would be the move this year.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'm into that. Anyway. All right. So did you read it? It's your dad here. Got my free day over there.
Hey, what up?
And cool, man.
Fight milk.
fight milk. and our sweet dear dog boobs is taking the week off. She's been dealing with some family stuff, so we're going this, not really technically solo. I guess she's going solo, but so she's with Lemon Party into the she went to visit her grandparents in Uganda.
They're saving the lowland gorilla.
Right.
They said, the lowland fuck gorilla. The midland gorilla. Right. We only deal with lowland gorillas.
But she'll be back eventually, we assume. Anyway, so before we get into the interview, though, with our friend from the Talpa community, which we'll hear shortly, let's go over a little bit of what happened in this past week. It's Wednesday. What's today? Wednesday, the 19th of September. So... one of the big things that I find this very interesting because Ask Reddit, this is a top post of this last week, by the way, it has 139 upvotes. This is an Ask Reddit, but it's a strangely arbitrary question that I never would have thought would make it this high up in Reddit. But it has, which I still haven't figured out why, but the question is, Reddit, how do you feel about a law that bans radio stations from playing commercials with honking, beeping siren noises in them? So for me, I'm just like, yeah, obviously. I mean, like it's clearly a public problem.
Hmm. Yeah. You would think right away off the bat, you just go, sure. That seems
so. I wonder if this is. Because everybody seems to be agreeing with it. I wonder if it's so high up because people are like, this is a little bit of a Reddit vigilante justice where now it's become such a high post that it's actually going to be, it's going to become law because of it.
Two things immediately come to mind where I just go like, who's listening to the radio anymore? What's the first thing? Like, how could this be a big issue with all the other ways and sort of things we have to listen to? And then, don't we have bigger fish to fry? Like, is this our big problem? I don't know.
We do have a lot of fish to fry, but I do see that one of the top comments actually kind of sums up, I think, why this thing has gotten so much attention. And it's just like a sarcastic Reddit. How do you feel about, and then in parentheses, common Reddit opinion. And so I think that that's, basically what we see here is like, there's probably been a lot of people that have complained about this in the past on Reddit.
Oh, okay.
And somebody posted it as an Ask Reddit, and now it's just become like a Reddit lore, essentially. But that should be, I mean, that should be the case. It does seem dangerous, right? I mean, every once in a while I'll hear a siren. I won't be listening to the radio because, like you said, I don't know who listens to radio, but I'll hear a siren
fucking,
in music or
baby
something.
Boomers,
or
think, dude, fuck yeah. Those old geriatric pussies.
But I'll think that I'll be hearing something in music, and then I'll realize it's a siren behind me, or I won't hear the siren, which is obviously dangerous for
sounds
everybody.
Like you're listening to NWA quite a bit.
Yeah, I do. I do listen to NWA, but so that was top this past week.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then one of the other like kind of I've seen a couple like this. I think it's pretty interesting. Is with all the Hurricane Florence stuff going on, you've seen a couple different news clips where the newscaster is faking how extreme the weather yeah. is for maximum news effect. And kind yeah. of the third one down on the top this week is
right.
you see this reporter like faking being in, you know, 150 mile an hour gale force winds. And then right. background, there's like two high school kids walking by, totally casual with like shorts yeah. and flip flops. Like they're just going, you know, to 7-Eleven to get a Slurpee. And it's great. It's just like, you're like, yeah, of course the news is like hyping up
right.
how extreme it is. There's that one. Then there's also the Anderson Cooper one. Did you see that too?
I don't think I saw that one.
There's an Anderson Cooper one where it's a wide shot of what they're shooting.
Right.
So someone's taking a picture from behind the crew line, basically. And Anderson Cooper is, he has moved himself like deeper and deeper and deeper into a road, essentially, in a way. If you just Google image Anderson Cooper fake storm or something like that, it might pop up. But he's like he's faking about how deep it is, in a way that just in this picture sort of shows that he's trying to maximize the effect of how bad the right. storm is. Whereas the rest of the crew is just like standing on flat, dry ground.
I mean, part of me. This is like a funny kind of fake news, but in the world where fake news is such a big problem, I think this is kind of a punishable offense, you know? Like it's kind of silly, but it's also like you're fabricating something on the news, which is supposed to be the verified source of this kind of information, even though it is ridiculous. It still like kind of sets the tone for other things that are a lot worse. And it makes you skeptical of other things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, it does. I just sent you the picture.
Yeah, I see that.
And it's just, yeah, you're right. Like it's, they know better. They're right. technically, there's, I don't know, they're technically like taking advantage
right.
of what their job is supposed to be. Which,
right.
which, you know, you listen to like the Trump fake news stuff and then you start to go like, you know, I hate to say it, but
I know,
you got
man.
A point. And it doesn't mean I love that's, Trump, that's but a lot of it seems like bullshit.
Well, it seems fabricated in a way that doesn't, it's just frustrating because you don't need to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I guess there could, I mean, maybe there's a case to be made with something like a hurricane where you want people to understand the potential gravity of the situation so that they're not
right
that so that we hedge our bets. Right. Cause I mean, that's the thing with people obviously is people go, oh, that doesn't look that bad. Fuck it. I'm staying. And then all of a sudden it's worse than people expected. Maybe there's potential lawsuits because of that. You know, I mean, we live in such a litigious society that like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if somebody saw that video of like, Anderson Cooper standing in a puddle and was just like, bro, what are they talking about? And then all of a sudden, you know, there's somebody's house is underwater and someone dies and they go, fuck you, CNN. You didn't tell me how bad it was actually going to be. Or you said it was going to be a lot less bad than it was. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough, but I think that there's something sneaky about this stuff, which I don't appreciate one bit,
but you.
I just don't know how. I just don't know what the answer is. So,
I don't know. I think it's tell the truth. You know.
Yeah. I think tell the truth, but not even just like the truth. I think it's tell the context around the truth as well. Like if Anderson Cooper was to say, "We're here in North Carolina. we're at about 40, you know, we're about 40% elevation higher than what Charlotte's at. And so it's not bad here, but who's to say it's not going to be bad down there? We just don't know. Be careful. I think that's very different than just saying, than just like seeing their feet and that's it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he should, I mean, just be a little more clear about it's really bad. It's not bad on every street, but it's bad on most streets. I don't know. What's going on with net neutrality, man? I feel like you got a bone to pick.
Oh, net neutrality. Well, the net neutrality thing. So this week, so basically California put in a law or passed something that was basically retaining net neutrality.
Right.
And Ajit Pai, who is the internet's, you know, biggest supervillain, came out and said, like, basically, like, this is preposterous. Like, this is illegal. Like, California should be ashamed of themselves. And like, the California lawmakers were like, yeah, we did what you claimed you were going to do and didn't do for money. Like, fuck off, Ajit Pai.
Right.
So I think Ajit Pai is like, he's, I mean, who knows based on what administration, but he's got his coming for him, man. Cause I think that it's been very clear for a long time that he's been a sneaky fucker with all this.
Yeah, he's going to get a particularly, he's going to get a pie in the face.
Oh, he's going to definitely get a pie in the face, particularly considering all of this stuff. I don't know if you've been up on the comments, the lawsuit that said that they've been hacked, that FCC claimed they've been hacked
and did not dive in.
Yeah. So basically they claimed their system got shut down because they got too many comments, right? Mm-hmm. About saving net neutrality.
Right.
And their excuse was, oh, we've been hacked. And they clearly lied about it so that they wouldn't have to address the democracy of the matter. And it's been coming out more and more through actual legal, through like a litigious process, how much they try to cheat the system with this thing.
Yeah.
So I think that is
controlled by a handful of companies versus a vote.
Yeah. And I think that is eventually going to come to pass. I think we're eventually going to see, I hope that we're eventually going to see repercussions for them lying about being hacked. Cause that again is one of those things where like setting that precedent is very dangerous. Like I think being able like if you say you've been hacked and you haven't been hacked, that sets up a very dangerous path. So that has been what's been going on. What fun shit has been happening? I mean the reporter is pretty fucking fun. There's actually been a lot of like nice like feel good stories this past week. I feel I've been seeing that. Yeah, like
what's up with that?
I wonder if it has something to do with weddings, because I feel like a lot of people lose weight when they know they're eventually going to get married.
Yeah, one of these top posts is a couple who lost weight for their wedding.
Yeah, and then there's
a good reason.
This other guy right below is, I realize there's no secret to weight loss. I just lowered my calories, did some exercise, and gave myself 7 months. And this guy also lost a ton of weight.
It's funny how people keep realizing that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's funny. I mean, I'm all about people losing weight. And I think having a community, having Reddit be kind of a galvanizing place for people that feel like they're overweight, I think is really nice. Cause I mean, it is an accurate stereotype that people who just spend all their time on the internet or nerds or whatever can be overweight. Cause they've just, yeah. So I think having a community dedicated to people trying to get better when they feel like they're living an unhealthy lifestyle is great. So it's always nice when you see these things top posts. It would be nice to eventually dig into why that there's so many in terms of this time period, but
I think the more I don't know enough about this, like as an educated person, but you hear sort of like more and more information come out about how bad refined sugars are and like the food industry and like all the crap that sort of like is being marketed to most people all of the time. And it's just, it's been like 50 years of a terrible diet. And then I think finally there are people realizing like, oh, I can't eat all that. Like, and it probably, I don't know, it's probably leads to like depression and all this other shit, right?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. I mean, I think depression and and weight have kind of this inextricable relationship because, you know, if you're depressed, you can get overweight. If you're overweight, you might get depressed, you know?
Yeah. So stop eating so much, like don't eat until noon.
So weight loss, that was a thing. What else? What else happened this past week? Oh, you know, one more thing, actually, this is another last thing that we should probably close out on because it is culturally interesting, specifically because of this post 10 down. I don't know if you see, it's the, we asked the three of them to take a pic of their awesome costumes and this guy jumped
yeah.
in.
Oh yeah.
It's like the greatest photo of all time. Yeah.
And so what the photo is three very good Spider-Man costume and right. they're pretty like legit. Like yeah. somebody spent some money on it and the people wearing
it. They all have the stance. Like the girl in the middle in particular has got this like really like cool, sexy Spider-Man like stance.
Olympic gymnast bod, right? Like she could totally. Do a backflip over your head. And the other guy is like kind of jacked, like he's doing steroids. And the other guy is sort of like what I look like maybe somewhere in the middle. And right. and then the fourth guy is just a dude in like Rydell blue sweatpants that he got at Ross. And like a red turtleneck and like sharpied on a shitty Spider-Man logo. And like a,
it's so and funny.
Like a rape hat.
Right. It's absolutely hilarious. So and we'll post this on the subreddit. But we have a subreddit, by the way. Did you read it if you didn't know about that already. But anyway, but the thing that's nice, so Spider-Man has been a huge deal this past week because Spider-Man, the new game, is fucking crazy looking. And everybody's taking photos of the game because the game is so nice.
Right. It looks like so, it's like this augmented reality has really, this is the first new video game where it seems like you're playing in the real world. And if you're,
yeah, yeah, it just looks fucking fun. And Spider-Man has always just been fun.
Cause you can zip around on
for sure.
Wings.
I mean, I'm like kind of an unabashed, I mean, I loved X-Men growing up, but then the older I've gotten, the more into Batman I've become. I fucking love Batman. I think Batman's the fucking shit. Particularly because it's so dark. It's just like a really like menacing. It's a really menacing game, you know. But Spider-Man though is just fun, and it's also kind of the world of like people who have like people who. Are like normal guys, like Peter Parker, normal guy. And then he becomes Spider-Man with this insane ability.
But
he gets
like radioactive. It's all radioactive except for Batman, who just pounds people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Batman is like, Batman, the thing that's interesting about Batman is he, like the world of Gotham City is just so fucking dark, dude. Like it's just, it is a world where like capitalism has run awry and, it feels like it's a cross between like Detroit and like Moscow or something, you know?
yeah, it does. Yeah.
Which is why I love it so much. And the previous Batman game was fucking insane. But anyway, all right. So that was the past week. Now let's get into the interview with Tulpas. If you haven't listened to our previous episode, where we talked about tulpas in our traditional format, we suggest you do that. It doesn't have to be a two-parter. I mean, you'll get a lot out of this, but I think we do kind of go into the tulpa culture and the tulpa subreddit. And through that, we decided that it was best to interview a tulpa and their host. If that doesn't make any sense, you'll understand when you listen. But cool. So now, here is an interview with a real-life tulpa and their host.
Enjoy.
So last week, we talked about tulpas, and it blew my mind. Like I did not know about tulpas somehow. Like I feel like we are really into a lot of the things that tulpas are kind of a culture around. Like we are on the internet a lot. We think it's, I don't know what you'd call it. I guess it's not psychedelia, but I'm interested in the the metaphysical world or something along those lines, right? And I think that tulpas, I think, is this really interesting idea in the world of spirituality, I suppose, or consciousness. But I don't, it was so hard for us to understand because it's such a, I feel like if you're not in the community, then you don't totally understand. So if you wouldn't mind, could you tell us how and why, I guess, you initially got in the community?
Well, I mean, I'd be telling mostly things my host did to get into the community, because obviously I've been created well after he got interested in those things.
So maybe that's a better question, I guess, is like, what, when you were created, where did you come from nowhere, or were you kind of always lurking in your hostie's mind and then you kind of came out? Like, what was that experience for you, I suppose?
I mean, if you expect me to tell you that I came from another dimension, I have to say that most probably I didn't. So unfortunately, I'm not too much into metaphysics. But I guess by my beliefs, I kind of lean towards the Buddhist mind view, mindset. So I'm not against the concept of reincarnation and such. But then again, it's mostly about my personal beliefs. It doesn't really relate to how I was created. And if you would ask how I felt myself before I became what I am now, I would tell you that I really don't remember anything. So as far as I'm concerned, it was mostly a blank state. I just happened to be created at a particular, well, starting from a particular date. And that's where my oldest memories of sorts are coming from. And I have like very vague ideas of what I were, if I were anything before that. So I don't think I've been part of this body or this mind for like all the previous years. I'm pretty sure I was like, there is no personal memories of me from like from more than like 4 years ago.
So it really is, I mean, I guess it's the same experience we all have in life, right? Where we don't remember or know anything about when we were. That's kind of the reality. It's like you're born or you have consciousness, and then all of a sudden that's all you know. It's not like you were lurking in the mind at any time previous.
Could you, if you could speak to just your hostie, I just think for people listening, just to give, if they're just tuning into this, I think they should probably listen to the last episode we did on tulpas, but if they're just tuning in for some reason, I'm trying to have you describe your host to people in a way that maybe they can understand.
And you can describe it from a third person perspective. I know that you and your host are separate entities, I guess, or different, separate people.
So people listening can know, you know, is your host a man, a woman, anything like that?
Right. So he's a pretty nice guy, I would say. We have this, you know, kind of friendly relationship of sorts. Our internal joke is like, we together, we feel more like roommates that are stuck forever in the same college dorm room. And we can't just escape it, so we have to deal with one another. He does, I think, engineering as part of his business life. He's pretty chill, does many things that I don't really understand, like electronics, whatever, complex stuff, mathematics and such. It's not something I really looked into. And, you know, like we are supposed to have shared memories, obviously, but it was never part of what interests me. So if you ask me to solve some, I'm trying to come up with some mathematical term, and you know, my mind goes blank because that's, again, that's not something, it's called linear equation, I think. So if you would ask me to solve one of those, I would just go, what?
That's fascinating that you would be, that you guys share the same brain technically, but you wouldn't be able to access the same, I guess, pedigree of knowledge that your hostie has. It's such a fascinating division of your mind, you know?
I wouldn't say I cannot. Say I don't want to. So it's not impossible, because I think one of the major things that makes tulpas different from, say, a mental illness is that we never really go full on split brain, and to some extent, we share all the memories. It's just that we consciously decide which of those belong to one or another part of us. If you give me enough time, I can pretty much like dig into all his memories, even down to the childhood where I never existed. It's more that, you know, it's kind of privacy of sorts. We cannot have privacy, like our dorm room, it has no walls. So we have to, you know, have like paper curtains of our areas of interest.
Interesting. Now, in terms of age, so when we had talked about tulpas last week, we had talked about how for some people that bring tulpas into their lives, and the tulpas obviously themselves, did you age through the process as well? Or have you kind of retained an age throughout the course of your existence with your host? Tell me a little bit about that process, obviously, because I suppose the act of aging is not uniform with the tulpa community.
So, you know, that's a very good question. I really like it, because as a question of age for a tulpa, it can mean lots of different things. And often people would think that age for a tulpa, it's basically the age of a visual form that tulpa picks for themselves. You know, like if you look like a young woman or a very old dragon or whatever, you know, but that's not really what aging for tulpas is about. The way I see it, aging is it's experience, right? So the more you live, the more experience you collect. And in that sense, tulpas, obviously, they would age just in the same way as any other person, because like you grow older, you learn new things, and there is some baggage that you carry with you. Some things you forget, but some things they remain with you for years. And that's basically how tulpas and how other people they age. We are not talking about physical age, because obviously sharing the same body, I'm restrained to the same age as the body is. I'm subject to all the conditions and whatnot the body has. But in terms of mental maturity, I would say that tulpas would definitely age, just because like as long as you're exposed to something new, as long as you're exposed to new feelings, new emotions, you would grow one way or another as a person.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I guess we gauge our own existence and our own age based on physical, like a physical manifestation of our body, right? Like you get gray hairs, you feel the effects of aging, you wrinkle. And I think that thinking of it in the context of the knowledge you get and just maturing, I think it's just a different way to conceive of age. And it is a much more accurate way, I suppose. I mean, obviously we are all kind of, we're trapped in these bodies, but it doesn't, we've all met people who are in their 80s who act like they're in their 30s and kind of retain a youthful spirit. And I've met plenty of people that are in their 30s who act like they're just like waiting to retire, you know?
That's me. So, that's my
whole thing. That's true. That's so you over there. So yeah, that's part of it. You're born an old man and you have never lost that brand.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. And do you describe yourself in physical terms at all? Or is that not even something that you consider? Cause I'm trying to figure out, I mean, your host has a physical body. You share that body, but do you see yourself as a separate physical terms? Like if you were to describe yourself to us, it's obviously a personality, but is there a physical attachment too?
I would say that if you've asked me to describe myself in physical sense, I would definitely go with just a description of the body.
Right.
Because I cannot see how I could exist, like, you know, outside of the framework of this body. So even if I think that I'm just like, you know, a part of the mind cannot exist on its own. The mind is part of this framework of mental and physical, of mind and body. You cannot just describe yourself as being like purely a mental construct, because if you think about it, the mental constructs are created in the brain and brain is physical. So I don't usually relate myself in terms of my physical body, but I mean, it's definitely the same body my host occupies, because otherwise it wouldn't make any sense to me.
Sure.
Right.
That's interesting.
So you briefly mentioned Buddhism, which I think is an interesting part of this too, because I think that I think in the Talpa community, it seems like the idea generates from Buddhism, but it has now, it's transcended the purpose of Buddhism, and it's now a little bit more, which is ultimately what's most interesting, I think, is, as far as we're concerned, is like kind of how it relates to internet communities. We know that like the Brony community, for instance, is very involved in the Talpa, and I know I it seems like maybe there's some contention there. We're not totally sure, but do you have a relationship with Buddhism, or is it more like you're using the initial principles of enlightenment to gain access to the Talpa, but you don't really align with Buddhism in any other ways?
So if you think of Tulpa specifically in relation to historical Buddhism, it's a very tricky subject, because we only have pretty much a single book that historically describes something like Tulpas from a point of historical, from old Buddhism. I had a chance to speak to a few different Buddhist teachers of different branches of Buddhism, and not a single one was actually able to tell me like, oh, Tulpas, I know what's that about. I myself, we do practice Buddhist. There's a Buddhist practice called Vipassana. It's a meditation of sorts, and we both practice it. And we went on silent retreats. That's basically when you go to a isolated place, and all you do is like you meditate for like about 10 hours a day. And it's a silent retreat, so you are not allowed to talk to anyone. So you are like very focused. It's a very hard work. Very interesting, but very hard work. And I had a chance to talk with Vipassana teachers. And based on what I learned, I would say that the modern idea of Tulpas, it goes against the core Buddhism ideas. So if you take Buddhism as a road to enlightenment, Tulpas are a road to enlightenment, which you go in an opposite direction.
That's fascinating. So why do they consider that? Do they think that Tulpas are ultimately a distraction from the path to enlightenment, or do they feel like it's a bit of the left hand path where it's kind of going literally the opposite direction? Like if, you know, in the Judeo-Christian sense, it's like, when you pursue the left hand path, obviously that means you're going towards Satan. Is that kind of the context in Buddhism?
Well, it would all be like, it's my personal opinion, so I cannot say for all the Buddhists, but my personal feeling about that is they see Tulpas more of a distraction.
Okay.
That kind of makes sense in that most of the Buddhist traditions are very focused on their own ideas. So anything that goes against those ideas is deemed as like, you know, the time that is lost while you could use it doing the actual practice. The whole idea of how a tulpa is created, of how a tulpa grows in a person, well, in a body, I'd say, not in a person, the way that tulpas start to feel something, the way that tulpas start to want something or desire something, you know, tulpas grow attached to different things from their host. That's how you actually differentiate between tulpa and the host and any other person in the body.
Right.
The old all want something different, they have different ideas on their lives. Like one personality like might like ice cream, another one would hate ice cream, you know, those small tiny things. And at least in Vipassana school of Buddhism, they teach you that you should get rid of those attachments.
I see.
So they see tulpamancy as think to create more attachments, while your job is to get rid of those. So see, there's a bit of like working in a different direction, and you need to work to create a tulpa because that's not easy.
So, oh, that's interesting. Okay, so that makes a little more sense to me. So it seems like in the Buddhist context, obviously, it is about kind of releasing your desires in the earthly format. And with tulpas, it's almost you're almost replicating it because you're creating another personality that reacts as if it is just like I think the roommate thing is probably the most appropriate analogy where, you know, you have a college roommate, that college roommate loves like the New York Yankees and you're like, fuck the Yankees, I like the Boston Red Sox or whatever arbitrary thing it is. And it's more those two personalities are constantly working together, not like fading away from a single personality, like mm-hmm. I suggest in Buddhism. That makes a lot of sense.
That sounds pretty much right, yes.
Yeah. So in terms of the tulpa community, and I don't know if necessarily you can speak on this, so if you can't, all good, but I think people that don't understand tulpas, and probably some people that are going to hear this, that we want to kind of course correct, because this is not coming off with any sort of judgment on our end, but like I don't want people to think this is like a schizophrenia thing. Mm-hmm. Now, in the community, I'm sure this is a big conversation. Do you find that the community is aligned on exactly how and why tulpas serve the purposes they do? Or is it a little bit more like, no, my tulpa is a dragon named, you know, Thor God. And everybody's like, you can't have a tulpa dragon. What are you talking about? Like, what, can you tell me a little bit more about how the community works?
So there's definitely a thing about splintered communities, even if we talk only about the primarily English-speaking communities.
Right.
And the thing is that if you ask 10 people what a tulpa is, 10 people within the community, you might get 10 very different answers.
Totally.
And because there is no single definition of what a tulpa is, there is a bit of a tendency of calling all kind of things a tulpa.
Yes.
If you look at the website, it's called tulpa.io. It's another tulpa resource, but it has a very good list of words and their definitions in tulpa community. And if you look up the definition of tulpa, you'll see two definitions, of which one kind of describes the tulpa itself. And the other one notes that tulpa became an umbrella term for any kind of different personality. And right. That's kind of exactly what is happening. I've been to a bunch of different English-speaking communities. I did some research, very little research, of Japanese communities and of Russian communities and of German and Polish communities. And every single place, they see tulpas slightly differently, but even within those communities, there is no single way to describe a tulpa. And that's why, like, if you're a Northern American and you think tulpas are pretty much a psychological concept and there is no magic, you would have a very hard time talking to people from somewhere in Russia that think tulpas might actually be magic. Well, not all of them, of course.
Right, of course. Yeah, it's a different understanding of kind of the genesis of tulpamancy.
Yeah, if your foundation is kind of different from each other, it's really hard to start a conversation at all.
Exactly. That's a problem. So there is no single foundation. And right. Even on some kind of fundamental things, like I know that the majority of Russian tulpamancers, they don't think that tulpas being able to switch or like control the body is actually a thing. So like if a tulpa can switch, then most probably that's not a tulpa, but a mental disorder. Oh. While in Western communities, switching with host, it's a completely normal thing. And it's something that most of the tulpas can do to some extent. It's something I'm doing right now, talking to you.
And which, I don't know if we talked about where you are in the world or what your community is or what community you relate to or where you come from. Or where your host is or where your host come from.
So we are originating from Western Europe, but I don't really belong to a particular part of tulpa community, I believe. I mean, I'm a moderator of the tulpa subreddit.
Right.
But that's like, I guess this is a community I associate myself with. in some sense.
You're in Western Europe. We're in California, Los Angeles. So good talking to you. This is cool.
Yeah, this is really interesting.
Yes, the technology is magic.
Magic, right? We can all agree on that magic.
Do you find that there is a... let me see how I phrase this. So the internet is an amazing galvanizing force for, I think, getting something like the Talpa community together, right? Because I feel like it is one of those things where you probably have a lot of people who are either interested in Talpamancy, have pursued Talpamancy, have accomplished Talpamancy, but it's not something that necessarily translates to local physical communities. Do you have people in where you live or local community chapters that also are that are involved in Talpamancy, or is it something that you've really kind of found your community online and that's the only place it is?
This is definitely something I found online, but I know a bunch of good people that I've met in person in many parts of the world now, in UK, in Austria, in LA. There's lots of very good Talpamancers on the West Coast.
Okay, cool.
I've met a few of those, but definitely it would be really hard to just meet a person on the street and figure out that they are not single right in their mind, you know.
Is there, that's actually a really good question. Is there any way to, is there any way to identify somebody who has a Talpa other than having a conversation and for them to come out with it? Like that, what you just said is fascinating, saying that you wouldn't be able to recognize if somebody isn't single in their mind.
You got to wear a t-shirt that says, I'm with Talpa.
That's the only way.
Would you recognize me as a Talpa if you just met me on the street? Hey, I don't think you would.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't know the first way to be able to understand that. But that also gets down to that really fascinating, that gets back to that question of psychology and the clinical perspective on Talpas and how we, I think, receive this information, right? I think it's really easy for us as people to like hear somebody say, oh, I'm going to access my Talpa, and then you'll be talking to my Talpa. And then for us to be like, that person's crazy, without really taking what they're saying seriously. So I think that we probably do run into people every once in a while who we just mislabel clinically or colloquially, because I think that happens a lot, where you just see somebody on Venice Beach or somebody walking on the street and you go, look at that crazy person, versus just being like, no, they actually have access to Talpas. So on Talpa.io, there actually is a section about the clinical perspective on Talpas. Do you know what the clinical, or I guess the, I don't know if it's like a medical consensus, but I would assume it's like a psychological consensus is in the therapy community and the psychiatry community on Talpas?
It's not an easy question to answer. And I myself, I did some studies. I went around a bunch of universities. I tried to reach to the, you know, psychology departments and talk to people. What would they think of such a phenomenon? I know that there is a bunch of psychologists in USA, I believe, mm-hmm. that some Talpamancers talked to, and they would consider Talpas as something good, almost a coping mechanism of sorts.
Right.
So I know those people, and they see this like as a coping mechanism without going too much into details. I'm pretty sure that there's a bunch of psychologists that would just tell you that it's actually some kind of disorder and you actually need to be actively treated. But there's no single consensus as of yet.
Are there negative effects? I mean, we've read a lot about be careful if you want to create a Talpa, because if you do, it's with you for life and it can actually become, it can take over your life. And so there's a lot of sort of warning signs in some of the stuff we've read. But are there some other negative things? Because, you know, if you're a doctor and you're saying this is a sort of mental disorder, like what's the bad that can happen aside from maybe looking weird, but that's not a real negative. I mean, are there instances where a Talpa has, you know, really negatively harmed their host, or is that not really a problem?
I can't tell you about any cases that I know personally where Talpa was actually actively harmful. But one think that my host points out, and it's totally true, there is a huge negative effect of losing pretty much like a good chunk of your own life. Like, think of it, if I wasn't here, what would my host do at this current moment?
You'd be like getting bacon and eggs or something, or
yeah, not chatting with you, you know. So this is like
who knows?
A few hours of life I'm basically taking from him to do things I like.
To look at it, right? Because you only have so many hours on this planet, and if you're taking up 10% or something, I mean, that's away from the hostie's existence.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really interesting idea.
Our running joke is like, if you could wish for one thing, it would be like 40 hours a day.
Yeah, I know. That, I mean, well, God damn, dude. Like, I feel like that, and I don't even have a top.
Who's funnier, you or hostie? I mean, you guys like goof off? I mean, this is, it sounds great. Like, you guys can sit around and joke to each other. It sounds refreshing or fun. Is your host funny? Are you funnier? You sound way funnier than your host, by the way.
I know. I'm not sure I can comment on that.
Do you, you know, in our brief Reddit exchanges, you actually mentioned that maybe we could also talk to your host. Do you want to see if your host would be willing to talk to us before we let you go for good?
Sure. Can do.
Yeah. Do you want to call back, or do you want to just like have a little chit chat right now and then while you're staying on?
No, I mean, like, if you're fine with me slightly changing my voice and the tone and timbre. Hello.
Hello. What's
up? Oh my God. Let me grab some water.
Came back.
That was the most
amazing. Well, it's not that I was away. It's more that
totally.
I was actively suppressed and to like shut up.
this is so interesting. So how does this work then with... That's so fascinating that this side, and what do you go by the same name, or do you have what name do you go by?
I know on Tulpa community somehow they call me a burp.
Burp?
Nice. Maybe we'll understand that soon.
I have no idea like where it started from, but whatever. I'm not even too much into birds. It's just a thing now.
That's funny. While your Tulpa was in control, you're just sitting idly being like, man, I guess I got to just wait. Like, that's so crazy to me. That would like drive me crazy.
It's not that you are sitting idle. It's more that like, you know, like when you are driving a car and you're spacing out because you know the route perfectly well. So there is nothing new to see. It's old cars. You are not really listen to the music on the radio because it's a song, you know, you're just chilling out and you're a little like spaced out. That's how it feels. Like,
You're an autopilot.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's so bizarre. So why did you originally decide to pursue the idea of Tulpamancy or feel the need to want to get a Tulpa?
I was curious, I guess. I know it's the thing that you read about, like, wow, like, is it real? Is it a thing? And then you start thinking, like, I think I've read about that, I'd say, like, 2 to 3 years before I actually tried it. So, like, about 7 years ago now, I've read some article somewhere on the internet, like, oh, wow, that's a fancy idea. And I forgot about it for years. And then that article somehow bubbled up. I've read it again, like, it's still interesting. Like, what if I actually try that and see if it works? I mean, like, I'm not losing anything.
Totally.
Yeah, it's free.
For you.
Like, back then, I didn't know how much of my personal time that will, like, how it will affect it. But, I mean, you know, some people ask, like, what would be the thing that you would do before you start Tulpamancy, if you knew what you're getting into. And my running answer is like, I wouldn't do it because, you know.
That's something that we hear a lot from. It seems like that's a consensus in the Tulpa community is that it really is like proceed with caution. which is fascinating.
That makes lots of sense. I would tell you that it's definitely something you need to consider. Well, I mean, I didn't consider it seriously enough. And I'm pretty happy where it ended. So now I tell everyone, like, guys, be careful. Well, I didn't do that myself. You know, like, you're giving out the best advice is that you're not following yourself. So,
yeah, that's very true. So do you only have Shinju, right?
Shinju, yeah.
Yeah, Shinju. Do you only have Shinju, or do you? Because I know some have multiple Talpas.
I know one that has 65 of them, but 65. I think if one,
wow, insane.
I think one is enough. I mean, like, like given that 24 hours, if you have 65 Talpas that all want to do something, I'm not sure it would.
Yeah, that would drive me crazy.
I would assume they get maybe jealous of each other's or the time they get to spend sort of leading the charge. If there's more Talpas, maybe, I don't know. I mean, unless there's one that's really lazy who just likes to just chill and not do anything.
Like in our case, we both like to do something in the body, right? So like I have my hobbies, Shinkanda has her violins and writing and stuff. So we both need the body. You can't really like, you know, sit down and read some manual while your other half of the body is playing a violin. It's just not how it works.
Right.
So we have to share the body time, and that's not always easy.
Is it difficult to share your body with a woman in a way? Because
that's an interesting question.
I mean, she doesn't have periods, so.
Right.
I was afraid to ask, so I'm glad you answered the question.
I mean, it's interesting in the ideas she has at times are just like, you know, crazy. But it's interesting.
Women,
it's like
right?
She thinks of things I would never even consider as like, you know, something of importance. She's like, no, like we have to consider that. Like, okay.
Right. So, well, does that make you more empathetic? I mean, that's a fascinating point. I feel like a lot of people would say if you only had the mind of a woman or something, then it would make you understand a woman's needs, etc. more. I mean, does it make you more empathetic?
Well, as she would have pointed out, mind of a woman mostly relates to the brain structure of women that they grow up with, and it's like different in how it develops. I have no understanding of that. Again, like, you know, that's something that she was researching and not myself. So I have no idea. I don't think that you can, like, if you want to understand woman battery can create a female Talpa. It's not how it works.
Right.
So
are you in a relationship with another full-on human, not a Talpa?
Yeah, full-on human.
Yeah.
I don't know what you...
Are you... How do they deal with the Talpa?
They try not to deal with each other too much.
Is there? I could see some jealousy creeping in, or just maybe I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. And kids have no problem with that, but well, kids be kids.
Oh, you have kids as well?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. Okay. Oh, so that actually, I bet, is probably pretty fun for your kids because they have got such a ripe imagination. I'm sure that their relationship with the Talpa is probably fun.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Oh my God, I have so many questions now. So you have little kids and they interact with your Talpa. Do they ask to interact, or does it just happen?
I would say she just thinks Lullaby is better than myself.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, she's a little more motherly or sensitive, maybe.
I know.
Does you having a Talpa let you, does it let your more extreme parts of your normal personality, of like the bird personality, be more brash and extreme? Or is it kind of, your personality has not changed, you just have kind of this other side of you that kind of is a manifestation of new traits.
Oh man, if I knew. See, like I can definitely say I changed just because, like, you know, I used to have way more time and I have less time. So I have to adopt my interests in whatever time I have. I'd like to say that personality-wise, I didn't change much, but truly, I just don't know, because it's been a pretty long ride now, like, you know, 4 years in. I don't really remember much how it was before that.
Right. Yeah, I feel like, I mean, it's so much of it is, it's so interesting, because it's hard to empathize with the feeling of having a tulpa if you don't have one. And I just am speculating about how I would react to having a tulpa. And I feel like the parts of my personality now that are like either brash or intense or vulgar or whatever, I would let them be more of that if it was the opposite of what my tulpa was. Because I'd be like, well, my tulpa is polite and kind. So when I'm not with my tulpa, I'm like going to be more on the aggressive side.
Oh, I mean, like, you don't have to be like polarizing it like that.
So yeah, but I think that's what's so fascinating. It's just like you're right. Like, you don't have to, but I think it's hard for people to wrap their heads around. So there are all these analogs that I think you want to make, but I know it doesn't seem accurate, you know?
Well, I mean, like, Shinji would have said that it's analogies, but I don't really care about you spelling analogs. That's how we are different.
Right. Totally.
So, see, like, things that are concerning for here are like, I totally miss those.
Right.
It's not that she changes me in a way that she notices things that I would have otherwise missed. So, I don't know. I don't think I'm a harsher person overall, because I have a tulpa that's like so much into detail.
Do you talk to people who use their tulpas for a purpose in their lives? Like, I guess what I'm saying is, do people's tulpa become a tool for them to cope in certain situations in their life? For instance, if somebody is not very outgoing or extroverted, but their tulpa is more extroverted, will they transition to tulpa to interact with the world in a more social way? Is it used like that? Or do you know people? I guess every situation might be different, but.
No one in particular comes to mind. I mean, there are definitely attempts to use tulpas as tools, because people come into the community and what I've seen is like, you can imagine tulpas as whatever. Can they be a very cute anime girl or whatever? Because that's what I care about.
Right.
That happens quite often. I mean, Shin herself, she was thinking of, you know, creating more tulpas in our head for the sake of her storytelling. She's into this idea that creating tulpas and then like creating tulpas of her novel characters would help her with writing. Let's not have those crazy guys that you're writing about, because I don't really want to have crazy guys tulpas in my head. Potentially, I think you can create a tulpa as a tool for something. It's more that if you let them grow, they will grow beyond that.
Tulpas sound a little bit like tattoos. Like you get one and it lasts for a long time, and then maybe you want to get another one and another one, and they grow. And you got to be careful, because they don't go away and it can take over your body. Interesting.
I mean, as somebody who has a bunch of tattoos, I definitely can
relate to that.
You
started with one, right? And now you've got like 40.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, I mean, that's actually that's a funny analogy, because I have 30 or something, but you start with one, and then eventually when you get a bunch, all you see is where there aren't tattoos. You know what I mean? Like, you see opportunities for more tattoos instead of seeing the tattoos that you have, you know? And I'm sure that would happen with the guy, the person you know with 65 tulpas. I'm sure that probably is a little bit of how it happened.
I think there was a census like a few years ago, and they figured out that most people end up with two tulpas.
Right. And wait, you said with two tulpas?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why. Actually, I'm not. Was it two? No, I think it was one tulpa. was like the third of community would have one tulpa, and then the second would be like having two tulpas, and all the other cases are like extremely rare.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I mean, like, I can't really imagine how it would be to share your, well, I mean, specifically share your time with like more than, I don't know, more than two, to be honest. But I guess I can imagine how it is to be like with four, but going right. beyond that, it's like, it's above my imagination.
Do you and your tulpa ever have distinct disagreements?
Yeah. I was thinking of the same thing, like for food or just like general day-to-day preferences. Do you?
She's really into olives. I can't stand olives.
Really?
Man. Oh man,
that is fascinating. that's fascinating.
You know, thing is like being in the body for like your whole life, you can't really just go and detach from your senses. Like, okay, let your tulpa eat whatever olives they want. I just don't care, because you still care, because you can't just go out of the body completely. And it was like
totally.
a bit of a thing between us two.
That's interesting, because yeah. that's such a surface level concern. And I think you forget, because I, in my mind, I'm just like, oh, there are moments where, you know, she gets really sad about something where you feel elation, and that's like a complex emotional problem. But in reality, there's also those things like she might be afraid of heights. Well, you're not. Like, she likes olives. You hate olives. Like, that's so interesting that those would be the differences.
Yeah, that's right.
I like the day-to-day small problems that we all can relate to that you now have to sort of juggle with a tulpa. And to me, it just sort of makes me laugh a little bit. It's like, you know, the annoying life problems, but there's another person that's dealing with them with you, which is kind of just a funny idea. I have just one more question kind of about the world of tulpas. Do tulpas form relationships with other tulpas that are hosted by other hosts? I guess that would mean you would have to go meet another human, and then your tulpas would have to come into form. And can they form relationships? And is there like a sub-community there?
I mean, like, why not?
Yeah, well, it seems like why not, right? I guess is your tulpa in love with another tulpa? I want to get to the good gossip, you know, the juicy stuff.
It's a good question, man.
Yeah, like, I think browsing the Reddit, I would see more stories of tulpas being in relationship within someone inside their head. I'm not sure. Like, I'm not really. I mean, like, it worked for some people. I'm not sure how that. Well, definitely doesn't work for us. And definitely not up to creating more tulpas for the sake of experiment, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe your tulpa hasn't found the right tulpa.
Sounds like maybe that's being all John Malkovich, the movie, a little bit, or something.
Right.
A little bit.
Yeah. It's really interesting. So,
yeah, there's all kinds of stories, but again, like...
I mean, I've also heard stories, we were reading last week, that a tulpa can also have a tulpa, which blew our minds. Like, do you have any stories about that?
I mean... If you think they're nested like Russian dolls, I don't think it works like that.
I mean, I hope not. I mean, it sounds horrifying, but I remember seeing something. I don't remember what post it was. And maybe it actually came from the tulpa.io or tulpa info, but I was like, man, that is getting some heavy Inception stuff. So
I'm pretty sure like a well-developed tulpa can create another tulpa, because it's just like, you know, the mechanism, you know how it right. works. So why not?
Right.
But I mean, they would still be part of the same brain. It's not that they're like going deeper and deeper. So it's not Inception like now.
But maybe just to start to round it out. I mean, if one were to want to say goodbye to their tulpa, I mean, is it like breaking up with a girlfriend or I mean, is it possible? I guess.
Goodbye in what sense?
Like we don't want to cohabitate anymore.
Yeah. Is that something that is possible? And then it sounds like it would be difficult. Does it happen? Is there anything you can speak to on that?
I think the longer tulpa exists in your head, the harder it is to get rid of the tuba. So there is some point in time, I don't know, like I would randomly say like about 3 years in, where tuba just is self-sustaining. They wouldn't care what you think.
Just like kids.
Just because.
Yeah. The 3 years, they're on their own. Get a job.
Yeah, that's right.
You're tall for to get a job. That's funny.
Oh, no. At about 3 years, they're sort of self-sustaining and then they're sort of with you. But can you can you give them the boot? Can you say, beat it, Topa. This brain is mine.
Can you not think of an ape?
Oh, that's, man. It's a good question.
See, like, no, is that the thing? Exist. Like, you cannot... can't stop thinking of something just like because you want to.
Can't unknow it.
Man,
what we researched and what we ended up with is that actually a bunch of Buddhist meditation, I know that you discussed that earlier, a bunch of those practices would actually go towards dissipating the ego, and that would be one of the things you would do to get rid of a tulpa. But again, like, you know, that's so much effort.
Right. Well, it's also, you're kind of getting rid of yourself too. I mean, I think dissipating the ego is like, it's either with your tulpa or without.
Well, you can dissipate
anything.
One of the egos, right? You can just dissipate your tulpa. But I would say that's a tremendous amount of dedication and work. And I know, I don't really have any good enough reason to try that. So I'm not sure how effective that would be.
Right. How long, do you go when, do you go through long periods of time where your tulpa does not have access to your body, where you just kind of go, I don't want to deal with my tulpa right now.
Oh, I mean, like,
stay out.
I'm in control of the body most of the time. Like, she's in for like, maybe like a few hours a week when she's like doing writing, but then she doesn't like she's not actively controlling the body. I would say like she's actively controlling the body when she goes for her violin classes, because that actually requires her like that actually requires me to be out, because apparently I suck at violin. Who knew?
So she takes violin lessons, but you don't.
Yeah.
I
should be disappointed about that, but I don't really care that much.
All right. Well, I mean, we could keep talking about this forever because this is truly so interesting, but I know we have to go now. That's great. Cause we're about wrapping up too. Fried, do you have anything else you want to ask?
Those are kind of my big ones. I think I'm pretty good.
Here's a question that's a little less pertinent to tulpas, specifically, and a little bit more about being a moderator in the tulpa community. So, as a moderator, you know, we did briefly talk about the splintering of the community. I mean, how is your responsibility in terms of trying to keep the kind of zeitgeist of what it is to have a tulpa and tulpanism in check? Like, where do you start seeing that things are going off the rails? Do you make any effort to keep it back in, or is it more a matter of like any interpretation of tulpa is welcome?
I wouldn't really know because I mean, like, I myself, I'm not moderating the sub. I'm just, like, lazily reading it from time to time. I don't really care. As for what Shin does, I don't know. She has her ways.
Wait, so Shin is a moderator, but you are not?
That's right.
Wow. Again, fascinating. Amazing. Because I guess, so does that mean that all the moderators in the tulpa community are the tulpas of the hosts, or are there hosts?
No, I'm pretty sure that's not the case. We might have a few moderators that don't even have tulpas, maybe.
Wow.
It's like, you know, it's a personal preference. You do what you want.
Right.
I don't feel like moderating subreddits for fun.
Right.
And she's very much into like dealing with people and psychology of crowds and such. So.
Right.
Whatever works.
I mean, that's kind of why we do all this stuff too. I mean, we're just so interested in the psychology of crowds. I mean, it's a good way to articulate it, kind of how and why these communities come to exist. So, man, this has been so interesting and nice talking to you about this.
I think we're very interesting.
We're very sincerely curious. I think when we did that episode last week or a couple weeks ago, it kind of opened up our eyes and it left us with more questions and answers. And I'm not sure that any conversation we'll have will leave us with any more answers and questions. It's just such an interesting concept. But this has certainly been very enlightening, and especially talking to Shinju. So give her our best.
As a closing thought, I would say that, you know, given how an internet basically serves as this medium of connecting different people, this is why you get all kinds of crazy communities and people having like all kinds of very different viewpoints. Like you can find people that create tulpas. You can find people that think the earth is flat. And like everyone makes sure that what they do is right. And everyone thinks that they are not crazy and they are the very right ones. So I'm not against the thought that what's happening in Tulpa Sabre is actually some crazy talk. It can quite be. It's just that most people that actually, that we met in person from the community, they're pretty chill. They're good people.
Oh, of course.
And I would definitely say that in that regard, it's very different from like, you know, it doesn't really look like a mental illness because people are just like doing what they like and they're really happy with that and it helps them.
For sure.
So kind of like, why not?
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I mean, I think we don't, I think it's easy to cast judgment on things if you choose to be ignorant to them. But I think there are a lot of communities online and there are just a lot of examples, maybe like Tulpas. I mean, Tulpas is very unique, but you know, when you think of something like on a much more primitive level, like the D&D community, where I think a lot of people would very quickly be like, wait, there's no game. You just make stuff up. And I think some people would be like, that doesn't make any sense. But if you're open to it, then it is, can be really fun and helpful. And there's a community around it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with the internet in general. I mean, I think when I tell people about our intense interest in Reddit, some people go, oh wait, you mean like that thing where all the, like the trolls are, and that's like the Donald Trump thing. I'd be like, No, that's not what Reddit is. So I think it's just, you know, we would encourage anybody to, if they're even vaguely interested in Tulpas, to check out the community and dig deep into it and don't disregard what instinctually you might think is literally crazy talk or is imagination or, you know, adult imaginary friends. I mean, whatever you want to call it, because I think it can be really helpful for a lot of people.
Well, you still need to be careful because lots of that is like quite literally some imagination and very strange ideas. So
of course.
You still need to be critical thinking, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, I think especially having a basis in Buddhism, I think is really important because it gives it purpose and it gives it intention instead of it being frivolous and again, like kind of the ramblings of a madman, you know. It's a little bit more about kind of the pursuit of, for lack of a better term, enlightenment or kind of, discovering aspects of your own, of your latent mind. So,
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Bird/Shinju. It was really, really, really nice chatting.
Yep, sure.
Yeah, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Yeah, that was crazy. We just talked to a Tulpa woman and then he just switched right in the middle of it and went back to his like regular dude self who's married with kids. It was
crazy. It's so crazy, dude. That was so bizarre.
That was, I don't know. I feel like this is one of the most interesting things I've ever talked about in a way. I don't know. Like, I was like, wow, this is great.
Well, I think if you go into these things without judgment, you know, then it's great, right? Because it's really easy to be like, oh, that person's crazy. But if you take them at face value, you can learn a lot about their perception of the world, right? Which I think is just much more interesting.
Yeah, why not just let them do what they're doing and ask questions there's no real reason to shut them down. I don't think. I mean, who cares, right?
I mean, is it honestly any more or less crazy than so many other things, right? I mean, that's the thing that it comes down to. I mean, I think it's, we kind of go into these things with these preconceptions But, you know, everybody's got their thing, you know, and to most people, that thing is what weird. Maybe it's a tulpa thing. Maybe it's not a tulpa thing. But like, to most people, it's a weird thing, whatever that thing might be. And I don't know. I'm kind of like, that's cool. It sounds like you would never, it'd be impossible to be lonely ever, you know?
Yeah. It was great. Great chat. I was hoping when the guy switched, he would be like from Texas.
That would have been like amazing.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But he was obviously like Austrian and
right.
or something near there.
Right. Austrian or maybe Scandinavia, something like that.
I love how his tulpa plays the violin, but he doesn't.
Yeah, I know. That's so crazy, right? And then the olive thing is crazy too.
Yeah.
Because that seems like you voluntarily eat olives for your tulpa, even though you don't like them. And biologically, yeah, it's like a sacrifice, but also anatomically, like, he must have never liked olives. Then suddenly the tulpa comes and goes like, well, fuck yeah, I love olives. That's just so wild, man. It's so wild.
It's pretty crazy. I didn't ask the what happens when you masturbate question because we just kind of ran out of time. But
the only reason is because he ran out of time.
I'm kind of the guy here that wants to ask the everyman questions. You know, the
everyman question.
The question's the man on the street, you know.
That's so funny.
Does your tulpa want to get laid? I mean, we don't know. I don't know. I guess not. It didn't seem like the physical manifestation stuff was that much of a factor. It was more like a sort of an emotional or psychological. Like the tulpa was interested in knowledge and connecting.
Right.
But not riding a bike.
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah, it's a very different thing. But fascinating stuff.
I like the comparison was, can you ever not know that a gorilla exists?
I mean, that makes total sense. You don't really think about it that way, but that is true. I mean, that is really the reality is like once you think of it, it's there, you know?
It's there forever.
So
great talk, man. I mean, that was, I think that was an interesting, you know, version of our podcast. And I think we want to do more interactions like that.
Shout out Zencastr for making it possible.
Yeah. Zencastr, our new unofficial pod sponsor.
Unofficial pod sponsor that hopefully saved everything that I accidentally could have deleted. So
don't fuck us, Zencast.
I know. Don't fuck us, Zencaster. Well, it's good to know they have it all stored somewhere, but all right, well, let's wrap this one up. I know we all have to get about our days. Dog Boobs will probably be back next week when she's when she and Lemon Party are
back
are
from
no
saving
longer,
the Lowland Gorilla of Uganda.
The Lowland Gorilla of Uganda. I wonder if they have a burgeoning romance, she and Lemon Party.
I would assume so. I'm just going
to
go ahead and say
we'll have to get the scoop.
Sorry, guys.
Get the scoop.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, you have all the male suitors are always up on her balls, you know? but all right, cool. Well, this is Did You Read It talking about tulpas. My name is It's Your Dad.
My Frida down here. Catcher's
we'll
mitt.
We'll be hopefully back. Catcher's mitt. We'll hopefully be back next week. Probably not talking about tulpas again, but we don't know. Maybe we will. But until then, you can stay alive. What do we say? Don't give up.
Don't give up. Yeah. And if you have a tulpa out there and you want to contact us and maybe give your point of view, I mean, we're open to revisiting topics, you know, as we move forward forever.
Well,
I don't know if
we're
not going to do it. Every show is not going to be about tulpas. It's not what I'm saying, but
no.
You know, let us know what you think.
I mean, that said, I have been talking with Roy a lot lately because Great Awakening got shut down.
That's big news, man. I mean, the Deep State shut down Great Awakening on Reddit.
I know. That,
I don't know if I'm. Everyone thought Roy was, spouting kooky theories, but look, the facts are this: Great Awakening's gone. Was it the Deep State? Probably. Was it the CIA? Yes. Are they tracking us? They're in my living room right now.
Yeah, so hopefully Roy is going to give us some updates when everything gets up cracking again, and we really like Roy, so we wouldn't mind having him again to hear more about what's happened in the Deep State. So
yeah, I like that we're finding people on the internet and making them our friends. This is the greatest show ever. Tell your friends.
Exactly. All right. Till next time. See you later.
Bye. Bye.